From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
For the week of April 3, 2006, it is the Disc Golf News. I'm Brian Sullivan. And we're going to be talking about something this week that I never thought we'd talk about on this particular show. We're going to be talking about boobs.
What kind of sick thing are you into?
Well, that might be normal for some shows, Howard Stern, etc., but not for this show. No, that's not the way we do things. Difference is, Howard, these aren't the kind of boobs that you're interested in.
You coward.
Yeah, well, sorry about that, but get over yourself. No, we're talking about a guy, actually, Alexei Bubis. His nickname is Boobs. He is a Ukrainian-born disc golfer. And he'll be joining us to talk about his up-and-coming game, how his previous experience in tennis transfers into disc golf, and he's going to tell us about growing up in the former Soviet Republic of Ukraine.
There weren't very many opportunities, even organized sports. I never heard of golf or baseball or football. It was unheard of, those kind of sports.
And you're not going to want to miss that. It is coming up later in the show. Plus, the Bowling Green Am Championships last weekend broke its own record for attendance at a Super Tour. We'll fill you in there. Brian Schweberger is back. He's going to be talking about putting in the 60-second clinic. And we've got results from the Gator Country Classic in Gainesville. It's all coming up on this edition of PDGA Radio News, brought to you by Innova Champion Discs at InnovaDiscs.com.
The Champion Sidewinder from Innova is the latest addition to the state-of-the-art Champion line. The Sidewinder is designed for long turnover shots and long-distance rollers. The extra-long glide will add D to your drives no matter how big your arm is. And the Sidewinder is made with Champion line plastic, so it holds up round after round. Your game just got better with a new Sidewinder from Innova. Number one in disc golf. It was absolute bedlam in Gainesville, Florida last weekend at the Gator Country Classic. This going right into the Gators NCAA title game? Yikes! All right, we'll begin with the Masters. And Greg, the Miniac Hosfeld, has a Mondo Gigungo second round. He's going to win this one by five over Brad Hammock, who will take second place. Steve Slazer, PDGA number 5-5, will take third. And we want to say hats off and welcome back to Bob Vanderbos. He got injured years ago, didn't think he'd ever play again. Baby, he is back, and it's good to have him. In the women's division, Nadine Cosgrove says, hello! She's going to win it by six. Over in the Burl, Carrie Burlogger, she takes second place. Sandy Gass takes third for the women. Open division, Johnny McRae, a huge third round. Shoots a 41. He's going to win this one by one. Over Schultz and Climo, they tie it for second place. Double G, Garrett Gerthy takes fourth. That's how it went down at the Gator Country Classic.
Time now for the 60-second clinic. Brian Schweberger of North Carolina joins us again. The topic this week is putting. And the point Brian makes, I think, this week is that you shouldn't be afraid to change something if it isn't working.
Recently, I've just changed my putting routine back to my old style that I saw a videotape of myself, and I saw what I was doing different because I was having little success at the current time. And I went back to this old style, and I'm putting more off of my right hip on release and with a less hyzer on release. It's more of a flat release, definitely very flutter-free. Very smooth on release, and I'm also putting a lot more in practice. I was definitely one that did not practice his putting very often, and it started to show, so I bit the bullet, and I'm practicing at least 200 to 300 putts a day now, and it has definitely shown in my game.
North Carolina's Brian Schweberger finished in 10th place last year at Pro Worlds in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Hi, this is Greg Hosfeld. You're listening to PDGA Radio. Yeah.
In the big picture, we introduce you to professional disc golfer Alexei Boobs Bubis. His rookie year in 2005 was very strong, so much that we wanted to invite him on the show and find out more about this young Ukrainian-born disc golfer.
Alexei Bubis, welcome to PDGA Radio.
Thank you.
You really made a big splash on the national tour last year. It was your first year as a pro. You had a bunch of top finishes. You were fourth at the Dogwood, second at the Brent Hambrick. You took third in Warwick at the Skylands Classic. How did you get started in disc golf?
One of my buddies from the Tennessee University of Arkansas one day, just during the off season, took me out to a disc golf course, and I played a little bit. And then when I got done with tennis, my scholarship, I started walking out there a little bit more and just got hooked on it.
So you've been playing tennis in the past? Are there other sports? Are you an athletic guy to begin with?
Yeah, I've always loved athletics. I played soccer when I was younger, but mostly organized sports. I participated in soccer and tennis is mostly what I've played most of my life for almost 16 years.
So what year did you join the PDGA?
I joined the PDGA, I think it was in 2003.
Really? And then the next year in 2004, you took second at Am World, so you really came on strong fast.
Yeah, probably my first year, I must have averaged at least 3 or 4 rounds a day. It was pretty crazy. I was just hooked on the sport.
So who was your mentor? Who was teaching you how to really, you know, hit those alleys and throw those shots?
Well, the first few people at the home course in Gully Park in Fayetteville, Arkansas, were Kelly Watson and Jeff Ash and Tommy Eddy were some of the local pros, and they just kind of gave me a few hints here and there and gave me a few discs, and I just started playing and just playing by myself a lot and just playing, figuring things out. And then I came to Florida, found out that Clearwater, Florida, where I lived in Palm Harbor, Florida, 10 minutes away, I lived there since I was 14, and here I come back when I'm 20, knowing about the disc golf, and the world's best disc golfer lives in Clearwater, Florida, plays at his home course that's 15 minutes from my home. So I came out there, and one time got to play around with him, and he really inspired me, gave me a few great inspirations, and he told me, you know, how good you could be, what you need to do here and there, and I was really psyched about it and just worked harder.
You were born not in the United States. You were born in the Ukraine.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about life there.
What I remember, I lived until I was born there and lived until I was 9. And there was a lot of poverty in Ukraine. There weren't very many opportunities, even organized sports. I never heard of golf or baseball or football, or American football. It was unheard of, those kind of sports. And everything was about just, when I was going to school, just being doing the things very correctly. Everything was very disciplined. You didn't have that many toys. You didn't have that many activities, no water parks, no nothing. It was just, life was different. You didn't know any better. And so it was just very, very different.
So your parents decided to emigrate to the United States, and where did you end up?
We immigrated. It took almost a year to immigrate because we went through Austria, Czechoslovakia, Austria, then in Italy. And we had a choice to go either to Israel or stay in Italy or go to New York. And we ended up in New York. And it was a very, very good choice out of those three, I think.
So you ended up in where, Brooklyn?
Yes, Brooklyn, New York.
And how was Brooklyn different as a young boy and into your teens? How was that different from Ukraine?
Well, I was 9, just about turned 10, and when you're that young, you don't notice so many little differences. All you know, you try to fit in with the kids your age, and you just do things that kids do, play the playground, you know, ride your bike, things like that. And when you're that young, you're really left alone in New York. You don't realize all the dangers and possibilities of gangs and drugs and all that stuff. You just do the things that boys do. Because you're 10, people aren't really looking to bother you. And we did all kinds of stuff. We just, you know, play in the park. The most important thing for me was then to fit in, because I just moved from a completely different country, and you learn the language. And because New York had a very large Russian population, the school I went to, where there were a lot of Russian kids, so you kind of speak a mixed language of Russian and English, so you pick up real fast. And I think within about 6 months, I was able to, you know, to a year, I was able to speak the language. So that was a really good place to be, because I think if maybe you went to any other state like North Carolina, it might have taken me a lot longer to learn the language, because I wouldn't have any Russian kids there to kind of learn words from and ask questions.
Do you still have relatives in the Ukraine? And if so, do you go back and visit?
I haven't been back since we left when I was 9. But we do have some relatives, but mostly distant relatives, some cousins, great uncles, great aunts, my mom's parents and my dad's parents, and my mom's sister, and my great grandmother. Oh, we've moved them all over, and they actually, all of them live now in Florida, which is very nice. And I think I've been back to Romania to visit my fiance's family 2 times, but I've never been back to Ukraine because I don't know why. It just feels like if I go back, they might not let me leave, you know, because we got out at a time where it was very hard to leave. So it just feels like I'd rather not risk it.
Do you follow politics there still or not?
I don't, not personally, but I often will hear from my dad or from the news about things that are going on. So I kind of have an idea of what's going on because we still have friends and relatives that live there. But I don't really particularly follow it, but I know basically how it is.
So how did you end up from Brooklyn to Fayetteville, Arkansas?
That's quite a turn. Well, first from Brooklyn, my dad found a better job and we relocated to Ohio. Also, I think it was because of I was starting to get in my teens and my brother, who's 4 years younger than me, was getting a little bit older and he just didn't want us to grow up in New York. So we moved to Ohio, which is completely differently. It's a completely different town, Columbus, Ohio, and it's very quiet, very calm, clean, everything's organized, the communities, the families. And we lived there for a few years, and then I started playing tennis more and more, and my dad wanted me to pursue tennis, so we looked at the different states which had more tennis tournaments, with Florida as a tournament every weekend, and the weather's, you know, summer all year long, so we drove down to Florida, looked at places, he looked for jobs, and he got a better job, and we moved to Florida, and I was in Florida playing tennis, doing real well, and one day a coach from University of Arkansas came down to Florida to recruit, and saw me play tennis and asked me if I wanted to go to the University of Arkansas. I was like, University of Arkansas? What's that? You know, what are they? And he said, the Hogs. And I said, ooh, okay. What's so good about them? He said, well, it's in the SEC, you know, the Southeastern Conference. I'm like, oh, really? Wow. I looked them up. Everybody in the Southeastern Conference, the 12 teams from the top 25 almost every year. And I was like, wow, this would be really good competition. And it's a pretty good school. And so I ended up there, just like that.
Is there anything that you were able to take from tennis and bring it to disc golf? Is there certain things that are similar within the
game? Yeah, I think certain, maybe not necessarily, I guess footwork might be a little similar. The idea of hand-eye coordination, being able to aim an object, whereas you aim a tennis ball with your tennis racket in the court, and the swings are very similar. And I had a one-handed backhand, so I was able to bring that in as my backhand throw and my overhand throw, the thumber as my serve. And I had the ability to kind of understand how objects fly and land, and how you want to play maybe a skip shot, how, you know, you could slice a ball in and how it bounces, things like that. It definitely helped. It gave me an advantage. And definitely in competition, times of pressure, nerves, I kind of have an understanding of what it's like too. And I've also learned how to react in bad situations, because I've played tennis for so long that I've had all sorts of stages where I started out playing, I was really excited, and played all the time, then I got better, and when I lost, I would get mad and frustrated, and I would get mad at a bigger stage and make a fool out of myself. So I've definitely learned how to not to do that, just because I know what it looks like and that it doesn't pay off. Sure, sometimes I'll get upset, but I think I definitely have an advantage because I've done it before, and people have told me don't do that in another sport, and I know what it looks like, so it's like I have a fresh start in another sport to prove myself to me.
Well, then let me ask you this, because obviously every pro rookie in disc golf wants to do very well. They want to go to a national tour event. They want to win. And you have come so close at a bunch of events. So when you end up second at an event like the Brent Hambrick, you know, how do you deal with that? Were you upset with yourself, or did you say, wow, that was great, I finished second and I beat, you know, a bunch of tough competitors?
Well, I came in the tournament and I always expect to win, but you don't really know if you can, because you're playing with all these great players, and if you haven't won a big tournament yet, you just don't know until it happens. And I was playing great all week, and with three holes to go, or with two holes to go, I was up by one. And I was thinking to myself, or I think with three, I was up by one. I was thinking to myself, wow, all I got to do is par, because there were two tough par fours. There were two par fours, and I can get threes on both of them. So I was thinking par in my mind, 3-3, and I think I just kind of, that train of thought kind of got me away from thinking, okay, I need to throw this shot and throw that shot. I was thinking par, and I concentrated on what I was going to throw, and I just kind of didn't play smart golf and gave away a few holes, and all of a sudden I'm down by one with one to go, and Dave Fellberg is winning, and me, Barry, and Avery are tied, and I was thinking to myself, wow, how did this happen? You know, I was just winning. What happened? Okay. In the last hole, I kind of got back into the train of thought, okay, throw this shot, throw that shot. There's nothing else you can do now. Just try to get your three. And I made a really good putt in the last hole to finish second. And I And I was still like, oh, man, I got second. I was winning this tournament. How did this happen? And at first I was upset with myself because I felt like this is one of my better chances this year to win because I had the lead and I had two holes that it was up to me to win the tournament. It's not like I had to get twos. I tried to get nice two threes. But then I thought to myself, hey, man, you just got second. You just beat Barry Scholes, Avery Jenkins, and tons of other great pros. Don't be upset at yourself. This is your first year. You got plenty more years. You just learn from your mistakes. Learn that from now on, you just got to take it one shot at a time instead of thinking, oh, five holes ahead, I got a par, this, birdie, that, this, and so on. You can't control all that. So the first few minutes, I was upset, but then I was very proud of myself that I kept it together, got second, didn't drop off and get 10th, you know, like I've done a few other times. So it's all a learning experience. You just have to take it one step at a time.
So at this stage in your disc golf career, what would you say is your greatest strength and where is your weakness that you have to do some more work on?
My greatest strength, I would say, is in my, I guess, I have great drives. I can trust my drives and always get there. And I have a really good putt. I mean, when I'm putting well, things are going great. I think my weakest strength doesn't necessarily do with my shots. It has to do more with the fact that if I start off a round bad, I have a hard time thinking to myself, oh, no, it's not a perfect round anymore. You know, I forget that, hey, there's plenty of holes left. Just pretend like you birdied all of them and you bogeyed halfway through the round instead of it. Sometimes it affects me the way I start, and I think I need to just, the biggest thing is play one hole at a time, one shot at a time, not worry about what happens in the beginning, the end, and so on. Once I can figure out that, you know, you play one shot at a time consistently and it doesn't affect your mood as much, then that's all you can do. But sometimes, you know, you start off bad, you start off good, it affects the rest of your round.
So you've had an opportunity to play with a bunch of the top pros in the sport now. If you were to pick your three favorite players to throw around with, who would they be?
That's a tough question. I would have to say definitely Ken Climel. I enjoyed playing with him a lot. I love playing with Walter Haney. He's always a great time to play with because no matter how bad or good he plays, he's always just very happy. He's upbeat. And Dave Fellberg, I enjoy playing with him because he's always very true to the sport. He always makes sure everything goes well, and he never, I guess, gets too upset or happy either. He's always fun. He always jokes around if something goes wrong.
We've been talking with professional disc golfer Alexi Bubis. He finished in sixth place last week at the Gator Country Classic in Gainesville. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News. A boatload of things going on this weekend, April 8th and 9th in Bowling Green. If they have any energy left, they're actually throwing a national tour event. It's the Bowling Green Open for pros. More about the AM weekend in a minute. In Wimberley, Texas, at the Circle Out Ranch, is the AM World Doubles Championships. Napa, California, hosting the Vintage Cup. In Charlotte, it's the Frisac Open. Gainesville, the Gator Country Classic for AMs. In Pueblo, Colorado, it is the Steel City Shootout. Whitfield, UK, hosting the BDGA Tour No. 3, the Spring Equinox. Davenport, Iowa, it's the River Cities Rumble. A couple of Wisconsin events, the Menasha Open and the New London Open. In KC, it's the Mighty Mo. Shelby, Michigan, hosting the Northern Water Series No. 1. Marriottsville, Maryland, hosting the Patapsco Punisher. Plus, Washington, Maine, more Iowa stuff, Minnesota. Check the full list at pdga.com. Finally this week, an oh wow moment. Now, if you heard the show last week, we talked to Bowling Green AM Championship Tournament Director Larry Bledsoe, and he reported last year at that event, nearly 450 players. That in itself was a record. Well, this past weekend, the same event, 554 players competed at the Bowling Green Amateur Championships. So Bowling Green has blown away its own record by over 100 players. Now let me just help to put this into perspective. That makes it the third largest disc golf event ever, trailing only the two combined Pro and Am World Championships in 2000 and 2004. Okay? And it only trails in amateur turnout to the 04 Am Worlds in Iowa. They had 579 at the Am Worlds, and the Bowling Green event this past weekend, 554 players. And of course, it went off smoothly despite nasty weather. So congratulations to Larry Bledsoe and everyone who participated. And of course, Will Ennis, a local player who is your new advanced champion in Bowling Green. Congratulations to everybody involved. Wow. And what else we got to talk about? Oh, do you ever listen to public radio? If so, you know that this is pledge week at public radio, which can be just interminably annoying. However, it's something that they have to do, so I've decided to make this week pledge week here at the radio show. Only we're not raising funds for the radio show. We're raising funds for the National Disc Golf Center in Columbia County, Georgia, soon to be the International Disc Golf Center. Because, as you know, this is the disc golf mecca, right? We wanted it for years and years and years. Now that we've got it, well, now a lot of things are happening, and we need a bunch of money because we got three huge courses going in. It's going to be beautiful. We got buildings going in, all this stuff, and we need some help. So if you've got some cash laying around, I don't care if it's $10 or $100 or whatever you got, it will be put to good use. Or if you got some ideas on how to raise some money, if you don't have any money of your own, that's cool too. Drop your ideas or your cash to the office. Just drop an email to you, office@pdga.com. And that, my friends, is the Disc Golf News for the week of April 3rd for the PDGA. I'm Brian Sullivan. Thanks to our sponsor this week, Innova Champion Disc. And until next time, I hope you will get out there, huck some plastic, stay out of the shul, and keep them in the fairways.